Welcome to the With You Always podcast, brought to you by Sushipe, the online community and formation platform for disciples. Here we invite followers of Jesus Christ to share reflections and wisdom from the journey. Our hope is to instill a recognition that God is indeed with us always. Today, Lois Heron, writer and blogger from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, shares what God is doing in her life.
Welcome to the With You Always podcast, brought to you by Come Follow Me, where we invite followers of Jesus Christ to share reflections and wisdom from the journey. Our hope is to instill a recognition that God is indeed with us always. Today, Lois Heron shares what God has been doing in her life.
Greetings, friends. I had to chuckle this week when a podcaster described a new problem referred to as the "I'll be happy when" syndrome. She must not have realized that it's the human condition that has been with us from the beginning. Always striving after the world's empty promises, only to be left empty and wanting more. What began with Adam and Eve's deceived assumption that they would be happy when they tasted the forbidden fruit continues to this day with our own preoccupations with what we can acquire through our own efforts. And just like our ancestors, we discover that happiness eludes us because it is always moving according to the measure of our dissatisfaction. And this dissatisfaction with the present drives our striving after new ideas, new concepts, new things, new remedies, new. Granted, it is within us to discover and innovate, but when it is disordered, it can consume us and suck the life right out of the present moment. Consider today's reading from Psalm 13, which begins with a question we may find ourselves asking if we suffer from the "I'll be happy when" syndrome. The psalmist pleads, "How long, O Lord?" and then proceeds to reveal his heart to the Lord, eventually concluding by remembering, "I have trusted in your steadfast love. You have dealt bountifully with me." The psalmist offers us a remedy for our discontent. When we recollect the Lord's sufficiency, our minds shift our attention to our generous Lord. I, like the psalmist, sometimes find myself thinking about all the ifs and buts we are prone to place upon the Lord, ourselves, and those around us. It can take a lifetime to release our will to God. I grew up in an environment that inadvertently fostered a discontent with the present moment. The drive for the next thing to look forward to was an all-consuming pursuit, and it influenced my life, but it was an ill fit for me. Happiness seemed to be scheduled with a whole lot of contingencies that drove contentment and peace into the future. The result was restlessness that discontent fosters. Over the years, I've witnessed up close the side effects of the "I'll be happy when" syndrome. Have you? Perhaps you even suffer from it yourself. Well, let's consider today's gospel reading from Matthew and the other readings from sacred scripture and look for the remedy the Lord offers for this human condition that we fight against. The account of the altercation the temple tax collectors had with Christ's disciples in Matthew 17 is almost humorous to me. I kindle to the way Jesus flippantly instructs Peter to go to the sea, drop in a hook, and take the first fish that comes up. Open its mouth, and you will find a coin worth twice the temple tax. Give that to them for me and for you. There was a duty that needed attention, And instead of Christ allowing the disciples to be caught up with thinking about it, fretting about it, he gave a rather offhanded instruction as if to say, "Yeah, it's not a problem. I got this." Those 12, like us, suffered in varying degrees from the "I'll be happy when" syndrome, just like we do. What about you, friend? Do you wring your hands and murmur, "I'll be happy when I can get my tax paid," or "when I get my tax reimbursement"? "I'll be happy when life goes how I scheduled it. I'll be happy when this pandemic is over. I'll be happy when all my social media friends like on my post. I'll be happy when I make more money." Oh, there are so many ways that we undermine our peace in Christ by our thoughts and motivations, isn't there? Mine is unique to me. Yours are unique to you, but we both have the same problem. We do not trust God's word to us, just like Adam and Eve did not trust God's word to them. We like to say we do, but when it comes down to it, do we? Can we release the death grip we have on our own expectations? I think more often than not, we entrust ourselves to ourselves, pursuing ways to satisfy our own fearful and prideful pursuit of happiness. Despite our disordered thinking, Jesus still says to us in John 7, "Let anyone who thirsts come to me and drink." You see, he is the definition of true happiness. As the Psalms declare in varying ways, God is the fulfillment of all our longings. He is what the prophets refer to when they say, "on that day." Now, there's the only contingency we should focus on, because that day the prophets refer to is the beautiful realization that God is present now. In the moment, we are promised the beatific vision, as the scriptures say. How we must laugh at our strife, how he must laugh at our striving, how he must grieve over our useless pursuits, our all-consuming fears. Isaiah prophesies, and I'm paraphrasing a bit to fit what we're talking about today. "I will lead those who are blinded by pride, fear, anger, in a way that they do not know, in paths that they have not known. I will guide them. I will turn the darkness of their 'I'll be happy when' thinking into light. I will make their rough places that they think is their happiness into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them." As for me, I find it helpful to prayerfully consider my disordered "I'll be happy when" drive. Sitting with the Lord and allowing him to light my darkened thinking always brings light. I ask our Blessed Mother to intercede for me as I unpack the motivations behind each contingency that I hold up. She is the perfect example of contentment. I ask the Holy Spirit to fill me with his wisdom and discernment. And I'd also like to mention that I make a habit of reading through the anthologies of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Wisdom, and Ben Sira in the Old Testament. They expose to us all the human struggle to relinquish control to the Lord. What we discover are treasures that satisfy every longing of our heart. They do not fade or become stale. In fact, they increase in satisfaction the more we pursue them. I encourage you to make a habit of reading. To get a foretaste of what the book's message are, I encourage you to read Proverbs 2. Lord Jesus, you are our Alpha and Omega. You are our sufficiency. You are our happiness. Holy Spirit, help us to order our thoughts and actions as we pursue the treasures that give abundant life. Holy God, may we live and move and have our being in you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Hi everyone, my name is Eric Gallagher, the founder of Sushipe, the online community and formation platform for disciples. I wanted to take a moment to thank you for listening and also to encourage you to check out our online community at sushipe.co. That's SUSCIPE.CO. At sushipe.co, we're constantly offering free book studies, self-guided mini retreats, opportunities for family fun, prayer, and more. If you're interested in engaging with a community of individuals who are desiring to grow deeper in their spiritual lives, check out sushipe.co and get involved today.